World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, thanks for joining us out there, man. Oh, man, oh, man. Got a lot, lot of stuff going on. And, you know, I said the other day, lies, deception, and fear. And we're in a period of unveiling and revealing. And there's so much we watch that on TV and our elected officials. It's not true. It's just not true. And we know that Republicans good, Democrats bad. We know that's not true. And usually when I come in here I try to stay pretty tight spiritually, talk about spiritual things, which are important, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to talk about some other stuff. This was prompted by a conversation I had last night. And I won't say who I had the conversation with. Doesn't matter. I'm not mad. Doesn't matter. But this person basically thinks I'm crazy because I keep talking about stuff that they don't believe, or they think I'm crazy, right? You're crazy. And I know a lot of people that you're dealing with probably think you're crazy because they're saying, hey, Betty, where'd you hear that? Well, I heard that from Coach Dave. Oh, that nut, right? Right. And those of you who know, who've been watching, know that the stuff that we present, I just don't do it off the top of my head. I present evidence every day. And I just ask the questions. And the theme at Coach Dave Live is what? We know what it is. Who told you that, and why do you believe it? Now, look, let's take something just as quickly as we can. Stuart Rhodes. We had Stuart Rhodes on the other day. I want to get him on again. And Stuart Rhodes told us an entirely different story on January 6th. Would you guys agree with that? That his story, his version of what happened on January 6th is completely opposite of what the media has told us. Completely opposite. And when you listen to Stuart Rhodes, you say, wow, it makes you scratch your head a little bit, right? Wow. But yet you go and begin to talk to people about J6 and Stuart Rhodes. They are already so programmed that it was an armed insurrection that you can't get through to them. Somebody say amen. Put your thumb up so you know that I know what I'm talking about, right? Because we have all been programmed. There is a devil. There is a Holy Spirit. And those two are in constant competition. And we know this, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We just don't know. And not only that, we don't have, it's the old Wile E. Coyote. Anybody remember him? Wile E. Coyote, that's the devil, folks. Wile E. Coyote is the devil. Just placing false ideas and false things in people's head. Except the problem we have is then the media picks it up and runs with it and makes it true. And so if I come along here today, as we've done in the last couple of days, this is not where I'm going. Just be with me. And I say, I don't think we went around the moon. Oh. Well, why do you guys think we went around the moon? What? They told you COVID was real and COVID was killing people. Think of all the lies that they've told us that we now know isn't true. And the same people who are telling us about, I'm supposed to blindly believe NASA? Really? Really? And if I happen to be one of those crazy guys that questions NASA, I'm a conspiracy theorist, I'm a nut. Hey, come on, man. So I'm going to take someplace today that's not really deeply spiritual, although it is deeply spiritual. I'm going to give you a test. I see Dr. Paul looking at me. Hey, Dr. Paul, what year is this?
Hi. I guess it's 2026, as far as I know.
Paul, from what?
Exactly, Coach. It just gives me, you know, gives me information so I know how to get my lawnmower ready.
So we know that they've divided the world now. Since I didn't come up with it, I don't know who came up with it, this idea of AD and BC. AD, so in other words, it's 2000, what year is it? 26 AD. Meaning what? Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. I've always thought it was after death, but it's measured by Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, AD, right? Well, we have a BC. We have a BC, before Christ. Now, how do we know what went on before Christ? How do we know? Computers? How do we know the history before Christ?
Historical writings.
Historical writings, whatever. Why do we trust the historical writings? How do we know? Trust but verify. How can we trust and verify what happened? Hey, somebody help me out here real quickly. Maybe somebody can do a Google study. Don't leave. You're going to enjoy this, I promise you. You guys believe there were dinosaurs? Did dinosaurs roam the earth? When would that have been? And who's got pictures of those? And in what book were the history of the dinosaurs written? Or are we only told as folklore about the dinosaurs? Craig says common era. They even changed that. BC was always before Christ. And then they changed it before common era. They changed it, right? And well, I always thought AD meant after death. That's what I thought it was. That's what I grew up learning, right? That's what they told me. I didn't know. So we have a before common era. Was there a flood? Was it really a Moses? Was he really a guy? You open up the 66 books of the Bible, and I'm looking at him right here. Isaiah, was it really an Isaiah? When did he live? Where did Isaiah get his information? I go back here. There's a bunch of Psalms. Who wrote those Psalms? Well, they told us David did. David who? David. Who was there to verify David wrote them? Esther. Hey, here's a book here. Esther. Did Esther write this book? Anybody know? Ezra. Oh, Ezra. What? First Chronicles. So the question being, Coach Dave Live, who told you that? And why do you believe him? Which really comes down to the whole idea of the Bible, doesn't it? Come down to the whole Bible. You believe it by faith. You really don't know. You really don't know. God created Adam and Eve in a garden. And then they had sex. And then they had children. And then something happened. Oh, yeah. Something happened. Came down there and did something with Eve. And the next thing you know, we got a different race going on. I'm giving you an overview of the Bible here, right? And it got so bad, these mixtures of whatever got so bad that eventually the Lord had to flood the earth. Somebody help me out here. How long was it between when Adam and Eve were created to the flood? How long did the Lord allow things to be screwed up before he sent a flood? And then what happened after the flood? Well, they put them on a boat, they told us, put a bunch of them by twos, put all the animals on the boat. And all the animals floated around for a while, and then God kind of started over. When was that? When did that happen? And by the way, who took notes of that? And in what language did they take the notes? And who figured, are you with me? You guys with me? They find the Dead Sea Scrolls. I didn't even include this morning. How old are the Dead Sea Scrolls? Because they found them in what, 1948? Spencer, real quickly, how old are the Dead Sea Scrolls? They found them in 1948. So all of history changed in 1948 when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. And the Dead Sea Scrolls said something different than what they'd been taught, right? The Dead Sea Scrolls are generally dated between the 3rd century B.C. and the 1st century. So folks, come on. Somewhere 400 years. They don't know for sure. Somewhere within 400 years. But making them over 2,000 years old, the Dead Sea Scrolls. And what came out of the Dead Sea Scrolls? Well, some things we didn't even know about, man. Enoch came out of that. The Book of Giants came out of that. And all of a sudden, the whole idea of the Bible being God's word, all of a sudden, it got thrown on its head because they found these other things. Are you with me? You with me? Hey, folks, we can't even figure out who the hell killed John F. Kennedy. And how long ago was that? What's the theme here, David? Who told you that, and why do you believe them? Right? So when I begin, or you begin, or we begin to just rationally ask questions about this stuff, here's where I want to go here today. I'm probably not going to get it. Probably not going to get there. What's going on at the North Pole? Why can't we go up there? What did General Byrd find at the North Pole? Why aren't we allowed to go up and investigate that? NASA, you trust NASA? So I got this fight going on yesterday because I simply said, you think we went to the moon? Hey, is it okay for me to say that? That after how many years, 50 years, all of a sudden we decided we'd do a flyby around the moon again? Really? Really? When's the last astronaut we had in space? And then all of a sudden we go to the moon and they don't even make a big deal about it. Just all of a sudden it pops up. Oh, hey, by the way, we're going to the moon. And we sit there and we eat it off of the TV and think, oh, that's true. Did we go to the moon? I don't know. But I have reason to believe maybe we didn't. Betty, what's the theme here? What's the theme here, Betty?
Who told you that, and why do you believe it?
Do you trust NASA? Do you trust the government who told you to take the jab? Do you trust that same government? NASA's now really, really on. Because, see, if we don't understand it's a spiritual war and that the devil is in control of many of the minds of the people that we think are normal people, we're not going to get what's going on, okay? So I'm going to go someplace today that is not spiritually deep, okay? It's not spiritually deep. But to me, it's absolutely fascinating. Now, before anybody had their hand, anybody want to say something for the good of the group before we get going here? Huh? Because I'm going to.
I just want to ask one question, or you may not know it, but somebody out there. So AD, the year of our Lord, was that, then would that be the year he was crucified? I'm sure I can Google that.
great question. AD. And how do we know how they measured a year? How do we know how they measured a year? And do we know that 6,000 years ago, a day was 24 hours? Do we know that really? Do we know that? Right. So again, there it is. Thank you, Spencer. I'm going to send you another $5. Anno Domini, a Latin phrase meaning in the year of our Lord. So AD, it is used in the Gregorian calendar. By the way, there's more than one calendar. After the estimated birth of Jesus Christ. So we don't even really know when he was born and when he was, don't really know, starting with year one, often used BC, which means before Christ, and is increasingly replaced by CE, common era. Why did they put common era in there? Because they had to get Christ out of the picture, of course, right? Couldn't say before Christ. It's common era. When we know that for all history, it's been before Christ. It's the subtle changes that they do to us that the next generation coming along, they don't get. Do you think you ask your grandkids what they know about John F. Kennedy's murder. Ask them, hey, just ask them this. Ask them what they know about 911. And I promise you, they will quote the company line. Somebody boom me? Why? Because whoever controls the past controls the future. I'm heading someplace, right? So, where'd I go here? You guys ever heard of Tartaria? You ever heard of Tartaria? Have you ever heard of the mud flood? Do you guys really believe that there was a worldwide flood? That Noah really built an ark, that all the world was buried underwater. Do we really believe that? That means if it was all the world was buried underwater, that means this, that there must have been a world here. There must have been a world here. Because the Bible says that the Lord saw that everything was going on was wicked. Well, what was going on here? There was wicked. What was going on? Folks, something was going on. And it was going on, and it was so wicked, the Lord said, I got dudes, I got you. Now, I would posit that it had to do with maybe the mixing of the Nephilim with women and giants. That I would go down there, but I can tell you, look, are you looking at me? We don't really have any eyewitnesses. We really don't know. So we just have to believe what the history books say. I'm going to tell you this right now. They write the history books. What are they going to tell you about January 6th? What are they? They're already writing the history books. What happened to January 6th? What happened to January 6th? An armed insurrection. That will be the story in history forever. And so they can't let guys like Stuart Rhodes come along and say, no, that's not what happened. Or let me come on here and me begin to make you think, question what's going on. And then your friends and your family members think you're crazy because you're smart enough to say something don't make sense. Something don't make sense. Right? Come on. You with me? I know you're with me. I got some stuff. You're going to be glad you came here today. Okay. Really, really quick. Okay, Paul, quickly. And then hold off for a second, folks, trying to get going. Go, Paul.
Yeah, I was just saying, talking about the flood and everything. I remember hearing a Christian documentary, does documentaries. He was in a remote village in China, and he was doing some documentary, and they actually have in the remote village a story about a big flood that took place. And he went to some other places around, remote areas, and they were talking about a great flood. So this thought was interesting.
Yeah. But see, if it's not on Fox News, you don't believe it, right? That's the way we are. So pull up for me real quickly. Number two, antediluvian world. And ask yourself this. You ever heard any of this in your church? Never heard any of this in your church. Now, maybe we can, I don't know if we can speed this thing up. This is a pastor history buff with a PhD in linguistics discussing the pre-flood world in Antarctica. And ask yourself if you ever heard any of this. Go ahead.
Okay, Dad. Can you describe to me what the antediluvian world was and what antediluvian means?
A-N-T-E, diluvian, it means the civilization before the flood. You find today there's a lot of discovery. In fact, I wrote a brief book just discussing back in 2005, 2006, on cities under the sea. There were at that time about 100 discoveries of cities, pyramids, streets, ruins under the ocean.
Freeze it. Did you know that they've discovered 100 cities under the sea? You guys know, did you know that? Go ahead.
Under the Black Sea, but under the Atlantic, in the Atlantic, the Pacific, elsewhere, the Indian Ocean. The antediluvian world is actually what marine archaeologists are studying, but they don't believe in the scriptures. So they're studying, they're raising questions about a place like Antarctica, the Arctic, that have, they might have like a mile high of ice on top of them. Well, it was once water. Mm-hmm. It suddenly froze. But they're finding that there's evidence of civilization underneath there. Evidence of temperate zone, a temperate zone meaning a more favorable climate at one point.
Okay, yeah.
Now, what's happening is that there's a lot of historians, they're finding that there was a genius in the structure of the pyramids, these vast cities that are under the ocean, all over the world. Now there's hundreds of them that they've discovered. And so what you hear postulated is that, well, aliens did that, because man is presumed to be primitive, just arising out of the caveman era.
Yeah.
So that he can't be advanced. Well, I beg to differ. The Bible teaches that man was advanced from the very beginning of his existence. He moved towards civilization rapidly as the numbers of people increased. Mm-hmm. The antediluvian world shows that. That world was destroyed by the Noahic flood. The language of the flood is borne out in the geology of what we find in the continents around the world. The flood. It wasn't just a flood. It was volcanic. It was earthquake. It was massive flooding. It was the fountains of the great deep were broken up, which, by the way, I know of no document in the ancient world that knows that other than the Bible. Mm-hmm. You find these 40,000 miles worth of fountains of water, hot water still coming up from the floor of the ocean.
Okay.
The Bible describes that the fountains of the great deep burst. They broke open, about 40,000 miles of them now that we know of. All of that broke open of a sudden. And civilization, after God closed Noah and his family, and of course the animals in the ark, civilization, once the cataclysm began, civilization was gone in probably about 5 to 10 minutes, if it took that long. For example, right now they're talking about all these massive volcanic, these craters underneath Yellowstone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're afraid they're going to blow. They're going to blow up. Mm-hmm. But they don't realize they already have. All over the world, there's these massive. Yellowstone is a crater. All over the world, there's hundreds of these, if not thousands. And there were massive volcanoes. They went off. The tsunamis that were formed weren't, you know, they weren't 100 feet high. They were several thousand feet high. And you see that you can see it in the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. It's a ridge that goes down the base of the Atlantic between the Africa and, you know, the Western and the African continents. Mm-hmm. Mid-Atlantic Ridge is a massive crack that broke open, and the mountains rose. The scriptures actually, literally in Hebrew, it says the mountains rose, the valleys fell. You see it in the scarring, you know, mountains suddenly rising. You see it in the burn marks of friction of the mountains, rock going through rock as the mountains are erected. Now, geologists don't like that because the challenge is their evolutionary beliefs, and then would force them to come to grips with the God of Scripture. Unbelief has its biases, its prejudices too. It isn't neutral.
Correct.
The point is the unbelieving world shows.
History isn't neutral. Did you get that, folks? History isn't neutral. In fact, one of the explanations they say is what? The victors write the history. History is not neutral. So what he's saying here, it's important for us to understand, the scientists who are atheistic cannot admit the miraculous that happened. They can't admit that. Because if they admit the miraculous that happened, a creator causing it to happen, science gets blown out the window, okay? Science is anti-biblical. Go ahead. Keep going.
Advanced civilization all over the world buried, for example, off the western coast of Cuba at the 1900 foot level. There's a civilization down there in ruins. Mm-hmm. All over the world you find that. Well, assuming the water is 6 stone level, how'd they get there? How did the water cover them all? There's only one explanation, and evolution doesn't have it. So all those that are studying, you know, the genius of that world, the pyramids that are underneath the water, underneath Antarctica, if that's true, all over the world, pyramids and cities and ruins, what happened to all those? They were genius up front. Evolution has no answer to that.
Okay, Dad, can you describe
Boom. Hang on. Got another one for you. Pull up number 5. That isn't what I just did, is it? Okay. Now, does it say start down at the 2-minute mark? The antediluvian period, what the world was like before the flood. Put this at about 1.5 speed. We're not going to watch all of it. Hey, friends. There is so much friggin' evidence out there that what they've told us is not the truth. Go ahead.
The world before the flood was very different, but it also had surprising similarities to the world today. Unlike how it is now, people lived for hundreds of years, giants supposedly existed, and it did not rain. However, just as in modern times, wickedness dominated humanity, to such an extent that God decreed the end of all life on Earth. This mysterious past of our world arouses curiosity. Therefore, in this video, we will explore what the Bible, the Word of God, reveals about what the world was really like before the flood. Let's start with the climate and vegetation. The pre-flood world described in the Bible had characteristics far better compared to the current world. In Genesis 2:5-6, we read that the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and that there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. This indicates that before the flood, plant irrigation did not depend on rain, but on some sort of mist or vapor that kept the soil constantly moist. This natural system could have provided an environment of great climatic stability without the abrupt variations we know today. However, it is important to remember that although the world before the flood was much more stable and conducive to life, it was not perfect. After the fall, God declared that the ground was cursed because of man and would produce thorns and thistles, meaning that by this time, difficulties and imperfections in nature already existed. But despite this, many scholars believe that the pre-flood atmosphere may have had a water canopy or vapor layer that is indirectly mentioned in Genesis 1:7 when God separated the waters which were above the firmament from the waters which were below. This canopy could have contributed to protection.
You get that, folks? And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. Come on now, they haven't taught us this in archaeology, have they? Go ahead.
protection against radiation and a stable temperature across the planet. If this hypothesis is correct, the environment would have been ideal for the longevity of the people mentioned in Genesis 5, with lives that often exceeded hundreds of years. And this is another difference from our current world. The pre-flood world described in the Bible had impressive longevity. People lived for centuries, like Methuselah, who reached 969 years. One reason for this may have been the low amount of harmful genetic mutations in the early humans. Since creation was still relatively close to God's original perfection, people's bodies were more robust and less susceptible to disease and cellular degradation. Additionally, as already mentioned, the earthly environment could have been more favorable, perhaps with a more stable climate and an atmosphere that contributed to human vitality. However, as sin spread and humanity became corrupted, God determined a limit to their days. In Genesis 6:3, he declared, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. The divine decision was linked to the increasing wickedness of humanity, as stated in Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. With this, God restricted the duration of human life,
okay,
limiting the ability
put in the chat. Gotta watch the rest of us. This is so good, man. This is so good. But here's what I want you to see today. Bring up number three, if you can, Spence. Because we can't deny this, folks. The Tartarian Empire, or Great Tartaria, is a group of pseudo-historical. Pseudo meaning sort of history, conspiracy theories. Do you see how right at the beginning they want you to know it ain't true? It ain't true. It's pseudo historical conspiracy theories. Including ideas of a hidden past, mud floods. Tartary or Tartaria is a historical name for Central Asia and Siberia. Conspiracy theories assert that Tartary or the Tartarian Empire was a lost civilization with advanced technology and culture. This ignores well-documented accounts of Tartary with the history of Asia. Okay, so put it in the chat. You can do that, right? Okay, so bring up number, which one is, I'm hurrying through here, man. I'm hurrying through. I forget which one I used. Number six. Did I use that one yet? Spencer, you said I... folks, put this in the chat. Okay? The Tartarian Empire, myth, mystery, and the forgotten civilization. Was it really a Tartaria? In the mystique surrounding Tartaria, a term that evokes images of a vast, mysterious land has captivated historians and enthusiasts alike. This forgotten empire, shrouded in mystery, has been the subject of much speculation and debate. Now, look, I'm not going to take you through all this. If you want to know what's going on, here it is, man. Understand the historical context of Tartaria, the forgotten empire, the buildings. Was it a legend? Scroll down, Spencer. Look, huh? Have you ever heard about that in your church? Why many have never heard of it? Historical context, Tartaria, and ancient maps, appearances in historical cartography, the real historical region of Tartaria? What? What about those buildings? What about the buildings, the Tartarian Empire, the buildings? One more thing. I couldn't find it. Pull up number eight, then I'm going to open it up here. Is there a secret entrance to the North Pole? Why aren't we allowed to go to the North Pole? I was looking for a video I had today. I showed in the after show yesterday. Well, General Byrd talked about what's going on at the North Pole. And we're not allowed to go to the North Pole. Why are we not allowed to go to the North Pole? This was December 31st, 2016. Is there a secret entrance to the North Pole? Have aliens visited the moon? The internet's big question. Scroll down through here, folks. Why can't we go to the North Pole? I don't know. What is it? What is NASA hiding from us? Who? NASA. Oh, you mean those people that took us to the moon? Yeah, those people. What are they hiding from us? One man's tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist is another man's freedom fighter or something like that. Who told you that and why do you believe it? Now, I'm looking for, do I have a picture of Tartaria of them. Spencer, just Google it real quick. Tartarian architecture. These mud floods, these cities that were destroyed, folks. They were destroyed. Where are they? Where are they? Tartarian architecture. Look at all. Just click on one of them, Spence. These little buildings. Where are they? What happened to them? What happened to them? Was there a mud flood? Is civilization before? When the whole world was flooded, wasn't it flooded for a reason? Yeah, George, free energy. They had free energy. Look, Berlin, Germany. Just click on one of them. Berlin, Germany, 1850. The picture of Berlin, 1850. Don't look like that now. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Number nine, that won't come up. Number nine, try that one. Pull out number eight then. I did. Daggone. All right. So, who told you that and why do you believe it? Is there a great unveiling and revealing going on beyond what we could ever imagine? Hey, Craig, why can't we go to the North Pole? Why can't we go to the North Pole? Hey, friends, is the earth flat? You're going to get ridiculed to high heaven for even asking that question. Because from the time I was in school, they showed me a picture of a globe. The earth was round. In fact, they told me the earth was round, I think, before they even had microscopes. You could see other planets. And so it comes back to what Mel just put in the chat. Is the Bible true? If we were to, right now, could you really find somebody in the world today who could tell you what really happened at Gettysburg? Because when I went to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, Craig, we all went out there, and we had a guy give us a tour, a guided tour of Gettysburg. The guy who gave us the guided tour of Gettysburg, the Battle of Gettysburg, and what happened, the guided tour was exact opposite of what they taught us in history. Remember that, Craig? You remember that? My head was spinning.
Well, there was the guy that the park rangers made it about DEI and all that. And then there was
the guy
that we went to was the guy like, hey, let me tell you, here's the bullets.
Yep.
When JFK came in, look at the light and the thing, and that's why there's a flame over his grave and da da da.
It's unbelievable, right? It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And we saw Bobby Lee's uncle's. It wasn't his uncle's house.
Yes, it was.
Or not his house, but where he slept.
So when I walked away from Gettysburg, I had an entirely different understanding of what the Civil War was about. And it was not what they told us. It wasn't what they told us. The victors write history. Okay. So here's the reason why I'm doing this here this morning. I want you to understand that it's okay to question the status quo. Republican good, Democrat bad. Why do they hate Trump so much? Is there a force out there that hates Trump and loves Kamala? Is there really only two sides to this yin and yang? Is there really only two sides? Who told you that, and why do you believe it? That's what I want. When you come here, when you leave here, I want you to know that I did the best I could to give you an unbiased version of what they've told us. That's what I try to do. And I've told you 1,000 times, oh, that's a lie. I don't know. But they're telling us this, and I see this. And they're telling us this, but I see this. And I ain't swallowing it, hook, line, and sinker, just because somebody standing in a pulpit told me that's the way it is. Can I show you something crazy? I'm coming in there, Vinny. Hang on. Pull up number 7. Are you guys sitting down? Greg Locke, Pastor Greg Locke. I have a lot of respect for Pastor Greg Locke because he's, from my opinion, pretty straight shooter. He's a pretty straight shooter. But I want you to, this is only a minute. It's only 17 seconds. And you ask me, Well, just listen. Hang on. Of course, it's about Israel and the end times. Okay? I like this guy. He's right on. Listen to this. Go ahead.
I'm sick of all these Christians saying we ought to have peace with Islam. Islam is a satanic death cult, and they would cut your head off before I said amen in this sermon
amen.
If they had a chance to. What they ought to do is evacuate up there on the hill and get a great big missile and blow that wicked Dome of the Rock plumb off of the spot where it's standing right now so we can get that third temple rebuilt and usher in the coming of Jesus.
Does anybody think that's stupid? That's this guy's theology. Where did he hear this? I like the guy. What? Go blow up the Dome of the Rock so we can build the temple? In other words, we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to make it happen. Oh, but we're not supposed to make other things happen. No. Folks. Vinny, come on in.
Hey, Coach, what about Wardenclyffe Tower? That's a very recent example, or more recent than Tartaria anyway, of free energy infrastructure that was destroyed.
Vinny, they had a guy down in, I should have Googled, you just made me think of it. They had a guy down near London, Ohio, who developed an engine that ran on water. Does anybody know, familiar with that at all? He developed an engine that ran on water.
In South Charleston.
South Charleston. Thank you, George. And you know what? That poor guy, he had an accident and died. Huh? He had an engine that ran on water. Maybe you can Google that, Spencer, because they think I'm lying. Come on in, Adam.
Good morning, Coach. Good show. Just my response to the last gentleman who was coming, who was talking about blowing up the Dome of the Rock, which I don't have a problem with that to begin with. But I would say, I would answer his question by asking a question. I would say, what's the purpose of rebuilding a third temple? And the answer to what they would say, what the Zionists would say is, well, so the Jews can start sacrificing again. Well, if they did, then that would be in defiance of God, because Jesus was the final sacrifice for the sins of the world. And so, but that would start a whole big argument and everything. So that's just what I would have to say about that. That's all.
Amen. And so this gets it. Look, we Christians, we're the worst. We're the worst. And here's what I mean by the fact that we're the worst. I know things I learned last night. Hey, here's we don't really know what we believe. And by the way, we don't really think through the consequences of what we believe. Meaning what? Well, they're all upset about Trump in the Middle East. And I've said it before, don't send me any emails. I'm not kissing Trump's butt. I'm not doing that. I know this. The Bible says God raises them up and God sets them down. And I tell everybody everywhere I go, I don't know what's going on with Trump, but he's God's man. For good or bad, he's God's man. And if Christians spent more time praying for Trump rather than criticizing Trump, which is our command, right? I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on with Donald Trump, but I know this. God's in control of it. God's in control of it. And I wonder where we would be if Kamala Harris was president of the United States. Where would we be today? I wonder what happened to us when Barack Obama was president of the United States. Knowing that there's kings of this earth, understand this whole picture, right? And so I say, Coach, what are you saying? What are you saying? Friends, are you looking at me? If you believe the Bible, Donald Trump is God's man. Now, I don't know whether it's good or bad. Raises up one, sets down another. Nobody becomes president of the United States without God's approval, including George W. Bush and Barack Hussein Obama. And by the way, sometimes God does things that bring judgment. Is Trump judgment on America? Maybe. He's God's man. And our command is what? To pray for him, to pray for him. If he's God's man, he's got to blow some things up. He's God's man. He said, but coach, he's killing innocent people. He's killing some innocent people. Yeah. And so are we in the womb in America, and the church don't give a shit. Yes or no? Sorry for the booby word. That's just the way I feel about it, right? Selective criticism. Selective criticism. Much of it based on theology. Come on in, Lauren.
Good morning. I'm going to probably upset some people. But
go ahead. Go for it. That's why we're here.
Yeah. I'm not going to apologize. I'm a little bit of a Southside Christian anyways. With Greg Locke, and that's the pastor, and I'm more than happy to say his name. That's the pastor that you had on. And this problem that I got with these Zionists is they're talking about building a third temple. Well, they want to usher in the Antichrist. Right. You know, and he's all gung-ho, and he's part of the whole, you know, White House celebrity thing and everything else. He just, he's a good guy, but he made a U-turn. And this whole thing has got me super upset, because Christians are so good at condemning people. They're just so good at it. And I have to be a Christian according to how you define me as a Christian, not according to the word of God, not according to compassion, not according to kindness.
Judgment.
And, you know,
judgment.
Everybody calls this whole thing. Trump is God's David. And if you look at the guy, David, who was a king that came after Saul, because Saul was a creep. Okay. Look at David's life. The guy was a pervert. He was addicted to sex. He had a sex addiction. He went after some chick because he's sitting there watching her, you know, take a bath. Kills her husband. Gets her pregnant. His daughter gets raped. You know, his kids are like, they're Chicago Southside. Yeah, right. I mean, literally, look at the South Side of Chicago, and you look at David's family, you got the same thing. Why is it that okay? Why do you have compassion? Oh, David. And this was a man after God's heart. Okay. And everybody's so stinking good at throwing out condemnation instead of saying, okay, there's this. Okay. Just like you said, you got Clinton who's sitting there, and both Clintons sitting there saying, you know, close the borders. You can't work here. You can't do this. Obama's running around, you know, changing all the laws. And the guy's just supposedly only black, but he's supposed to be black and white. So you forget the white part, because they want to get rid of the whites, because it's Jew against Gentile. And you got some Polish guy running the quote unquote that was raised and went to school in Pennsylvania. His last name is what? Malowski or whatever that is. A Polish dude from Pennsylvania, from the east side, east coast of the United States, who's now is telling Trump what to do, Netanyahu. If you had a brain, use it. And then, like I said, and I'm going to finish it with this. I'm going to finish it with a prayer, because we need to be praying for the man that God put in that office. His name is Donald Trump. And Lord God, we bring you together as only you know how this is all working out. The Judases that are around him, the people of faith who are around him, who you know, who are men after your own heart, but who you know them by name. You're not going to say to them on the day when they have to come to see you, when they meet you face to face, depart from me, I never knew you. That's what should fear every one of your children, that you look at us and you say, depart from me, I never knew you. That's what should literally terrorize us. I want you to know me. I want you to know Donald Trump. I'm asking you and thanking you that you have so much mercy. You have so much grace. Your love is everlasting. That you, Lord God, would please protect this nation, turn it around, bring in recovery. And the first step is admitting that we are a mess and we need your help. Because we can't do this without you, because we've been running around like our own gods in your church, blaspheming your name. And I ask you, Almighty God, to forgive us for all the gossip, all the slander, all the backbiting that we've done against your son's name, your son's beautiful name, who died on a cross. And there's so much trauma that your son went through to save your name to bring you credibility because you are a good father who will step in front of death for their children, and you will adopt the ones that you know who are in your name. So I thank you, Almighty God, coming into your gates with thanksgiving and praise. And you did protect us from the enemy. You do protect us, even though the weapons are formed against us. They may be formed against us. They may be formed against this nation. And Almighty God, do your thing. Do what you do best. Rescue, save, deliver, roll the stone away, bring back life to these dead bodies, these dry bones, just like you did with Ezekiel. Breathe your breath of God through the power of the Holy Spirit and show up, show off, because that is who you are. And I thank you that that is who you are, that you have so much compassion, so much kindness, and that we neglect to forget that that's what you do. And you take the Davids and the Rahabs and the Marys and the Marys and the Marthas and whoever else, and the Pauls and the Peters, and you say, hey, I love these kids. They're mine. Everybody else rejected them. I didn't. I accepted them. They're mine because of my son. My son. And it is all about you because you are a good father. Thank you, Father, for being a good father. Thank you for being a God. Thank you, Jesus, for stepping in and doing what you did and forgiving us and giving us a day that we can celebrate, regardless of whether or not it's right there or not, we're still celebrating it, that you overcame death, that you died for our sin, you paid a price so that we could be a part of your family. So thank you for doing what you did. And I'm looking forward to seeing how you're going to turn this around, because only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And by the way, the only reason that we're able to be saved is because of Judas. Judas betrayed him, turned him in. He looked bad. Hey, Spencer, pull back up that thing you had up there about the guy in Ohio with the water. Ohio inventor Stanley Meyer claimed to develop a water-powered car in the 1980s. By the way, Spencer, I'm going to send you $5. Alleging his water fuel cell used electrolysis to split water into hydrogen and oxygen for fuel. And when he demonstrated a dune buggy, experts deemed it physically impossible. For an Ohio court found his claims to be gross and egregious fraud in 1996. He showcased a buggy that he claimed could travel 180 kilometers on 4 liters of water. Following a lawsuit from investors, court ruled against him, and Meyer died in 1998 of a brain aneurysm, which the Reddit post notes has fueled conspiracy theories claiming he was poisoned. Did you guys know that? That he actually created a vehicle that ran on water. Where? Ohio. Place you never heard of. Little old Ohio. They killed him. Come on in, Mary Beth.
I just found it interesting because I like numbers, not as much as Craig, but I've gotten interested in numbers. But just 7 is, you know, the number of completion, perfection, and that when he says, depart from me, I never knew you, that's 7 words. And I just find that very interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, numbers guy, huh? Boom. Pull up number 1. I just got to get this in. Pull up number 1. You want to watch a video? Huh? Started at the 2-minute mark, folks. Look, this is off the topic, but we have to understand that it's not off the topic. Okay? Start 2-minute mark. Did you know, as I told you, Ohioans, that Epstein, Les Wexner, is buying up all the water in Ohio? Go ahead and play this.
Google. Meanwhile, regular Ohioans are seeing their power bills jump, provoking an affordability crisis in the state, while funding for public schools, libraries, and healthcare is cut dramatically, all to keep the corporate welfare engine designed by Wexner running full tilt. Wow. So tell people, how did this all come about? How did this start? Why is it in Ohio and why isn't it in Silicon Valley? And what does Jeffrey Epstein have to do with this?
Well, it's in Ohio and it involves Epstein precisely because of Leslie Wexner. Leslie Wexner has been based in Ohio for a very long time. He's the state's richest man. And as people should know by now, he was Epstein's main benefactor for many, many years. Up until Wexner says 2007, but of course the recent releases show that they continued chummily talking after that date. And around in the late 1980s or so, Wexner decided to basically create what would become his own personal fiefdom in New Albany, Ohio. It was originally just, you know, sprawling farmland, and he with his longtime crony John Kessler decided to basically turn this into Wexnerville, for lack of a better term. And so essentially what they did is, well, it pops up in a few different documents, as I note in the article, but there were basically what seemed like bribery attempts to get zoning laws changed so he could build this city or town in New Albany. And one of the documents this appears in also alleges that Wexner is linked to organized crime. It was produced originally by the Columbus.
Listen, take the time to watch this, okay? Spencer, do me a favor. Google a map of Columbus, Ohio. Columbus, Ohio. You can't spell that. Columbus, Ohio. Okay, can you make that bigger? Can you make that bigger, Spence? That's it. That's good. That'll work. Okay, now, folks, Spencer, Columbus, quit doing this to me. So you can see up at top, Spencer, go up to 1 o'clock on the map. 1 o'clock on the map. Right there. Oh, down. New Albany, Ohio. You see it, Spencer? New Albany. Boom, boom. That has become Epstein Wexner Center. That's what she's talking about. And what is it that they're buying up? Why there in New Albany, Ohio? Why? Water! See the Hoover Dam behind it? Huh? Boom! All the water. And what she's telling us is that Wexner is going to do this all across Ohio. He's going to build these data centers all across Ohio. Which, Betty, what do they need? What do they need, Betty?
Water.
Hmm. Yeah, Beth, Tartaria used water as well. Huh? Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there. Did you know that Columbus, I'm sorry, I switched gears on. I just wanted to get this out to you. Did you know that Ohio State University has an entire, and, oh, thank you, Lord. Spencer, Google Children's Hospital Wexner Center. See, Wexner's smart enough, he buys everybody off. Children's Hospital Wexner Center. Nationwide Children's Hospital Abigail Wexner Research Institution at Nationwide Children's Hospital. He buys them all off. How about the demonstrations now against Wexner at Ohio State University? See if you can find that. Wexner, Ohio State University. They want his name taken off. People are saying, take his name off of there. Where it is. Demonstrations, led by students, alumni, Ohio Nurses Association, are demanding the removal of billionaire donor Les Wexner's name from campus buildings, including the Wexner Medical Center. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. That's why I said the other day, somebody asked me if they've come to buy up my property yet, because Buckeye Lake's right over, Right over there is Buckeye Lake. Spencer, pull that up. Ohio. Buckeye Lake. Where's Buckeye Lake on that thing? Right? Well, we'll keep going. Oh, there it is. No, no, down, down, down. Oh, there it is. There's Buckeye Lake. What does Buckeye Lake have? Water. And they're putting these data centers all across Ohio, but especially where water is. Okay, I'm gonna give myself up here. Spencer, do you see where it says Harbor Hills? Go to the lake. Go to the lake. Buckeye Lake. Up Harbor Hills. That's where Coach Dave lived. Legend Valley. Huh? Remember I told you the Chinese wanted to buy Legend Valley? Chinese own Legend Valley? What do the Chinese want? Hey, what do the Chinese want? Water. Are you making the connections yet? So they want to buy up all this land out here and do what? Put up data centers. And there's people out there smarter than me, like Craig and Mark Trump, who have been warning us for a long time. This is what it's about. Artificial intelligence, all that stuff. It's about otherworldly stuff controlling this world. People say, oh, this is exciting. It's exciting. Well, is it? Is it? Harbor Hills. Played golf there the other day. All that water. Jack, come on in quickly. Hey, yep. Oh, see Crislin Hill? Hey, Spencer, I'm giving my location away. See that waterfront on Buckeye Lake? It's orange, orange, orange. Yep. Look right above there. Crislin Hill. Who lives on Crislin Hill? Somebody I know. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay, so two things can be true. Something new can be true. Doesn't make the old thing that we knew false.
That's right, brother.
Okay?
That's
right. Right. So the largest geographical surface on the earth, you know what it is? The largest geographical structure on the earth is the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. We didn't really know where it was. We thought it was there. It was hypothesized. The first time eyes were laid on it was in 1974, 300 miles west of the Azores by Robert Ballard. That doesn't mean that the Pacific Plate doesn't exist. It means that the Mid-Atlantic Ridge does. Okay? Now, the other thing is we all know that photosynthesis is what drives all of life on the planet, right? Photosynthesis. The sun makes plants produce glucose. But in 1977, we found that there was this other thing called chemosynthesis that happens in the deep ocean that had never been known before. That doesn't mean photosynthesis is a lie. It means that there are two things that are true. So we've got to be blooming careful how we deal with this, some of these things.
This AI stuff that's going on. I've got a minute left here. This AI stuff. Now look, I've been all over the place today. But what's the theme here? Who told you that? And why do you believe him? Why do you believe him? And so this stuff is going on. The enemy has infiltrated and is feeding us lies. Hey, remember, the apple looked good to eat. Isn't that what it said? It looked good to eat. Pleasing to the eye. And the enemy's coming in with all these things that are pleasing to the eye. Money, going to get rich off of this. Economy's going to boom. And you eat the apple. And all hell breaks loose. We better be careful what we're eating. Who told you that? Why do you believe him? See you tomorrow.